Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Well, it's great to be with you. I trust there is a you on the other side of this camera. I'm sure there is. And we welcome you from all over this five borough region and in New Jersey and in Connecticut. It's great to be with you. So this was really a tough decision to do things this way, but we really sense that it's the right decision. And really thank you all for your faith and your participation and how God is going to use us together to advance His kingdom through these very challenging circumstances. So today our text is out of Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 14, which says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan after he was baptized and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Well, it's interesting that the Spirit of God can lead us, even as he did Jesus, directly into the wilderness. You know, I don't know what you think about the Holy Spirit leading you. I think a lot of times we think the Holy Spirit is leading us to prosperity or the Ritz-Carlton or some great new job or some great hot date or whatever it is that you're looking for. But sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us right into the wilderness. Not always what we want, but God just does an amazing thing when we're in the wilderness. But before I get into that, let me just mention that verse 14 is the rest of the text. And it says these words that after Jesus left the wilderness experience, it says these words, "He returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee." Started one way and ended up another. Jesus went into the wilderness, and it's right there that Jesus overcame the adversary, the devil, through the Word of God. But then it says that he came out in the power of the Spirit. And a lot of times we miss that. That we may start out going one way, but God has a better path, and he leads us into his riches of his glory. So that's where we're headed with this. I have three thoughts about being in the wilderness. And the first is, in the wilderness, we are completely and utterly and totally dependent on God. Man, is that not where we are right now? We have a very small live studio audience here, and yet they're very vocal, because we can all relate with what it is to have to be forced to be dependent upon God. Now, we should be dependent upon God at all seasons and all circumstances, especially when things are good. But we know that the majority of prayers that end up with God are usually from people who are in the wilderness. And hopefully we're going to learn that we can rejoice at all times and that we can depend on God at all times. But there's something about this season that's driving us to God. We're going to God in prayer. Now, it's interesting that Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, but the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years. I think that has something to do with the level of dependency and submission to God. When we submit to God or rebel from God, we just have to do another lap in the wilderness. But when we submit to God, I believe there's a way of escape and there's a way out. And we're going to break through regardless of how long this situation is and this situation that we're in now, as long as it lasts. Our utmost desire is to be pleasing to God. We want to lean into God. We want to pray to God. We want to call upon Him because we need God. We need Him for many reasons. We need God primarily because we're weak and we're broken and we're frail and we're full of fear and sin and disconnect, and our lives are jacked up, messed up, goofed up. We need God to make things right in our lives. I was just on the way over here this morning in an Uber, and it's amazing. The minute that this driver found out that I'm a pastor, it's almost like he put his foot on the brakes and turned around and just said, and here were his words. He didn't slam on the brakes, but he slowed down and he turned back to me and he looked at me and he said, "Please pray for me. Pray for my family. We are scared." I said, "Are you scared?" He said, "We are scared. Today someone died near us from this virus, and my family is in a different nation and we're in a bad place." He said, "It's up to you pastors to pray." And I said, "It's up to all of us to pray, my friend. Don't miss your opportunity to cry out to God." Well, that just happened. And we know that in many ways we're all being hit right now. My precious, beloved wife, Lynette, who's a professional speaker, and that's how she makes her living and livelihood. all of her speaking engagements for the next 2 months had just been eliminated. And we're like, man, God, wow, what are we going to do? And you know what? We're all in the same place. We're leaning into God. We're dependent. We're looking to God. Lord, speak to us. We need you. And his promise is this in Jeremiah 33:3, says these words, call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. And man, isn't that a good word and a good promise from God? Call to me. I'll answer you. I'll tell you what you didn't know. And that's where we are. There are some things that we need to know right now. How do we stay safe? But also, how do we minister to this world that is in absolute chaotic panic right now? We can't find things on the shelves right now. It's interesting that when I was walking my girls to school the other day at the Trader Joe's, it was fascinating because the line just to get in the Trader Joe's was wrapped around an entire city block and then around the corner. It was crazy. And then after I picked them up from school, it was the same. People were trying to get in there all day long. And it's amazing. And it's interesting how there was another line yesterday that was shocking to me, and that was at Nintendo. Because people are getting their Game Boys and people are getting their games because they know they're going to be locked up for a while. And it's interesting. I don't want to miss this time. I don't want to let numbness and gaming miss and blow up my opportunity. Nothing wrong with that if that's how you cope with stress. But the best place to take our stress is to God. Now, we're driven to God out of our need, but we're also driven because we need his provision right now. All of us do. And I know that in many people and situations, people have lost their jobs and people are suffering right now. People are wondering how they're going to make it. And I think a lot of us are in that situation. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Said, give us this day our daily bread. And it's interesting how back then that meant something. This day meant something. But in America, it doesn't necessarily mean something. It's just like a token prayer. But now we need God today. So what do? We look to God because he's our source. In the wilderness, even when his children weren't doing well, they weren't doing the right thing, but nevertheless, God was faithful and he was a provider and he's a father. He's our father. He loves to make provision for his people. And in the wilderness, it says in scripture that he gave manna from heaven. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing if bread just started dropping down out of heaven? That's how he took care of them. In the wilderness, there is no provision in the wilderness. And as Jesus was led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he prayed and he fasted. And that should sound familiar because this is the very season that we're in right now. Little did we know as we planned this out 6 months ago that this would be our season to pray and fast and look to God. And I just believe God wants to visit us in this season and make provision for us. Manna from heaven and water out of a rock. I mean, how does water come out of a rock? I mean, how does that work? I've been to Jordan where they project that this was the very rock and water's still flowing there underneath that rock. It's from an underground spring. And how it happened back then, I don't know. But look at this verse right here, Deuteronomy 29:5. God says to Moses, I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out. And your sandals have not worn off your feet. And in addition, his eyesight never failed him, and it says that his strength never left him. So Moses knew that God could provide even in the wilderness. I want to give you a promise from God. And it's in Psalm 37:25, where David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. Here's another one in Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from money. That's an exhortation. Stay free of the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Already, it's only been a few days under these circumstances here in New York City, New Jersey. But it's interesting that one businessman came up to me this morning in a prayer time this morning, and he said, my business inexplicably has already been up this from year to date, from the beginning of January to today, it's up 38%. He said, all my other competitors are struggling, but for some reason, my business is up 38%. I pray that that continues. I pray that people continue to see God's provision. We don't know why we would be blessed and others would not be. God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. God, we're in this collectively with people who know God and love God and people who don't know God and don't love God. We're in this together with everyone. But there is a special promise that God gives for his children. Another sister told me this morning, just out of the blue, that it was interesting that last July, HR put her corporate job in the pay scale of a different category from the group that she works with. She had no idea why that was happening, why she would be paid more than someone else is being paid for doing the same work. And right now, the very group of people who are being laid off are in that category in what she's doing, but because HR put her in a different place, she's going to be veiled from this disaster that's going on. And, you know, whether you're facing certainty or uncertainty, nevertheless, we're looking to God, if not for ourselves and our families, we're looking for our people who are suffering right now and really going through it. But I'm thinking about God's faithfulness. In this building that we're in right now, I just can't forget how God provided us a place in New York City. Some of you who are watching today were donors for that, and I thank you very much. But we all know that it was really miraculous how this was ultimately paid off and renovated in one season at a time when people said, I've got giving fatigue. I can't do it. We didn't pass the plate for it, so to speak. God just brought the right people at the right time who said, I want to pay it off. I want to pay for the renovation. And miracles have happened. And miracles are going to happen to all of us as we look to God. Therefore, in the wilderness, we're dependent on God. And we lean into God right now like never before. Secondly, in the wilderness, and here's a good one, we're transformed by God. The wilderness doesn't have to be a colossal disaster. We can even have joy in the wilderness. We can even have blessings happen to us in the wilderness. There's a promise in Romans 8:32 that God says that with my son will I not also freely give you all things. Everything means all things. All things means all things. And we don't have to think always about life or death or colossal, gigantic, huge things. We can think about the little things. For example, for the last previous 5 days, I've been walking around this city without Purell in my back pocket. Why is that? Because I go in the same Duane Reade, in the two Duane Reades on the 10-block walk to going to school. I go to them every day and say, do you have any Purell or alcohol? Every day in both places, it was a negative. And I thought, well, I'll get there early in the morning. Still a negative. And then I thought, well, I'll go there late at night. Maybe they're opening new boxes for new inventory for the next day. Still a negative. Then a couple of days ago, we had some friends over for lunch, and they were leaving town, and we wanted to bless them. And as we're walking out the front door, I had to leave with them. So we walked out our building together, and she looked at me. She said, oh, Pastor, hold on 1 second. She goes through her purse, and she pulls out a bottle of Purell. Now, by the way, if anyone knows me, you know that I am a huge fan of Purell. This is no joking matter. We're talking about 3 decades of loving this stuff. And I've always been one to wash my hands a lot. And when I was going several days without Purell, I kept missing my Purell. Well, no big deal. We have faith. We trust God. We look for soap. Soap's a lot cheaper. And we look for running water. Of course, I get that. But when you're on the subway, you need a little bit of help, right? And so it was interesting what she was reaching in her bag for, because she was leaving town, the husband and wife, and the woman was going through her bag. She said, I want to give you my last bottle of Purell. I said, you got to be kidding. I cannot take your last bottle of Purell. Please don't do that to me. She said, no, where we're going, there's plenty of Purell. So will you take this? Such a small thing. For you, it may be silly that I would even mention that in such a serious time. But for me, it's a token that God knows me. And let me remind you that God loves you. And this is part of how he transforms us. Transformation is not just his discipline. It's also his loving kindness. That's where we are meeting with God in the wilderness of all places. We're not even in church today. We're not even in the building today. But we have learned all over again that the church is not about the building. It's about the people. You in your living room, you in your bedroom, you with your small group, wherever you are, God is there. I really loved and enjoyed the fact that I have a praying wife. I don't need to take that for granted. But also, my six-year-olds are praying every night for you, our church, our churches, and many people they mentioned by name, that the coronavirus would stay away. And it's a sweet little innocent thing, but I have to believe that God hears their prayers too. Jesus said, "Let the kids come unto me." So here we are in this season of transformation, as well as we are a season of growing in God and trusting God and leaning into God. But our transformation is not just that God is with us, but here's what the greatest transformational reality is that God is in us. And that's what changes us and makes the difference. If I have to say, if there's one advantage that a Christian has over the rest of the world, is that the Holy Spirit is in you. And Jesus used these words in 1 John 4:4 when he said, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." He's not saying that there's something in you, like gumption, chutzpah, a strong will, you're cheeky, you're coy, you're savvy, you're good looking. It's not that. It's not just something is in you. It's someone is in you. Who is in you? The creator of heaven and earth. Who is in you? The one who walked on the water. Who is in you? The one who stopped storm. Who is in you? The one who multiplied loaves and fishes in the thousands and left leftovers. Who is in you? The living God is in you. And he's not letting go of you until he's finished with his work in you. All of our thinking about this, you may say, "Hey, that's good for you, Pastor Ron, and that's good to talk victory and talk that big talk, but what about those of us who are suffering?" I would never in a million years leave suffering out of the equation. Romans 8:18, Paul said, "I consider that our present sufferings are not comparable to the glory to be revealed in us." I know what it is to suffer just like you do, to go without things, to suffer loss, to suffer pain, to suffer sleepless nights, to be mistreated, to be lied about. And I believe God values suffering. But I'll tell you this about suffering. Suffering is a process. It's not a destination. That's not where we end up. All suffering will eventually end. In Romans 8:28-30, it reminds us when it says that God's going to work all things together for our good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That verse right there alone is a good reason why we should never curse the darkness, because we know that what's better than cursing the darkness is lighting a candle. We also know through that verse that your bad things will always turn out for good. God will flip the script, as you've heard those that little expression before, but it's true. God will turn things around, and your good things can never be lost. And guess what? The best is yet to come. We may experience and taste fear. Fear is a difficult emotion sometimes to manage. And as I've said before, it's okay that fear can even be your first emotion, but it's not okay that it's your last emotion. Because as we wrestle with fear and pray through it, something changes. And that is, we get the spirit of faith and we come to our senses and realize that God is using this season in our lives to do something that only God can do. And I don't even know what that is, and I don't know what it looks like, but I know that you and I are going to go through it, and this God is working on our behalf, just like he's working on the behalf of everyone in the world for his glory and his good. And this is a time of awakening. When Jesus was with his disciples, he never sheltered them from the bad things. Matter of fact, sometimes he would let them go through storms and it looked like their Lord were drowning. Lord, we're dying. Thomas would say very like dismal things at times. Lord, we're all going to die. And some people sort of have that sort of that personality bent in their lives. But you know what? The reality is Jesus did not shelter them from these bad things, but he let them experience them and he empowered them to walk through them. I'll give you an example. when Jesus took his disciples, he took them to Caesarea Philippi. It was to really say something magnificent, where he revealed himself as the Christ. And in that particular moment at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus was basically deliberate about taking them to the worst part of Palestine, because it was at Caesarea Philippi where there was this huge rock structure, and there was a gigantic cave where people, beginning in around 300 BC, they would take, it was a very demonic thing, but they would take babies and offering them up to the god called Pan or Pon. I'm not exactly sure how that was said back then, but it's, let's just call it Pan. And this today, this dark demonic place, this is today where we get the word pandemic or panic. This is where it comes from. And it was at that specific site where Jesus had this beautiful dialogue with Peter. And at that particular moment in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus turned to Simon Peter and he said, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And Peter used these words and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "I tell you this, Peter," he said, "you're Peter and on this rock." And if you could see that place and just look at this image right here, if you could just see that gigantic rock structure, it's in that place, he said, "on this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The wilderness was a place where they were transformed. That was the turning point for the disciples. And then there was no second guessing over who is Jesus. There's no more like wondering, who is this amazing, miraculous rabbi who has these powers? It was at that point they knew, he's our Messiah. Jesus is our Savior. He's our Messiah. I want to ask you, have you had your turning point? Have you been turned? Has your life been rocked so deeply where all of a sudden you realize that there's someone out there and I can't just save myself from within? I can't just keep thinking that there's a quick fix on some late night deal that's out there on the internet or on TV or some new person who's got a new strategy for your life. 10 steps won't always get you to your ultimate destination, or one key or three keys. The ultimate salvation comes in this person of Jesus Christ. When Peter then left tradition and he said, "You're the Christ." That happened to me when I was 18 years old, and I'm so thankful for the victory that came to me at that point. This great moment of the wilderness also not only helped them to be transformed, but this also and helped us to be transformed in our own lives. But in the wilderness, we're also helping others to experience that same transformation. And this is my last point, and it'll be brief. But the transformation that Jesus gives to us is available to everyone. It says that when he returned to Galilee, he came out in the power of the Spirit. Jesus never celebrates his own victory. He always gives it away. And that's what he is calling us to do in this season of our lives. I'm so reminded in this season of 9/11. It feels very similar and very familiar to me. Obviously, a very different situation and circumstances. But when I was driving up on 913 and I looked in lower Manhattan as I'm passing through the GW Bridge, and I looked down there and see the smoke just billowing up, and I heard a voice within me say, "Out of these ashes, I'm going to build a great church." I had no idea that I would be a very small part of something deeply significant that Jesus would be doing. But I know this about our lives as a church family and our multiple locations. We're here on mission. We're not just here for ourselves. We know that to be true. And we accept that calling. What did we do back then? Here's what we did after 9/11. And when things began to get going again, when Broadway reopened, and the good news for those of you who work on Broadway and you're in the shows, and for those of you who work in retail and you're in the department stores and you're wondering about your job, eventually it all reopens again. We're going to get through this. But here's what we did back then. We went shopping. What a fun strategy was post 9/11. What can we do for the city? We can go spend money and meet people and smile at them and meet them and greet them. And, you know, today it's a different circumstance. We're cautioned and we're told to have social distancing. And social distancing is respectable and everyone needs to operate in the faith that God gives them. I get that. But at the same time, social distancing is okay, but social avoidance is not okay. Eventually, God wants to take the very power that's in us and share it with the world. You know that old song that the kids sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." I want to say it's not a little light. It's the light of the world that's in us. It's about He who is in us is greater than all that stuff that's in the world. It's greater than all the fear that's in the world. It's greater than the pandemic spirit and the fear and the threats that we really do face in our life. And I'm reminded of all of these things and what we went through back then to know that this is our hour. This is our finest hour. This is our hour to excel because God is with us and He's not letting go of us. I want to say, be at peace. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. That's how Jesus comforted His disciples. I love that we're getting creative. We're going online now for this season. It might be 2 weeks. It might be 2 months. Who knows? We don't know. But we're going to get creative. We're going to use technology. One of our Connect groups has already gone into Zoom conference calls. I love that. And it's a group of young professional women who are all dynamic, and young believers are in this group. And they wanted me to know that meeting online was so good, and everyone who was on it got encouraged. They were so excited about that the director of this small group, this Connect group, she reached out to Lynette and I, and she began to email and text us about everything going on. But here's the one catchphrase that I want you to have as we close here. One of the sisters in that group said these words. She said, "Isn't it interesting? While everything else is shutting down, we're moving forward." Church, it doesn't matter. Jesus started His church in the worst part of the nation. The worst part, when people were sacrificing their babies to a demonic lie. There's hardly anything worse than that. And in that moment, Jesus said, "This is where we're building our church. Right on top of the pan god. Right on top of panic. Right on top of pandemonium. Right on top of pandemic. Right on top of all that, His church will succeed and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I'm so honored to be a part of a great church. I'm so honored to be a part of your life. I'm so honored that this team of ours is up late at night with people, praying for people, standing with people, that every Connect group leader is on top of this and our ministers. I love this church and I love you. We're going to make it through. Next Sunday, we're going to be online again, and we welcome you here and send the memo out to others. And we're going to be in touch with you through text. We're going to be in touch with you through social media. I'm putting up stuff on IGTV. I've got faith, a new faith message that I'm putting out every 2 or 3 days. And we're going to do everything we know to do to keep you encouraged. I can't help your immune system. You have to eat right and live right now and throw off disease. And that, thank God that God gave us a good immune system to throw stuff off, even when we're not thinking about it. But we want to help you and we want to help one another build up our spiritual immune system and throw off the viruses and throw off anything that doesn't belong in our life. Be of good cheer. Your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time together. And thank you that what you're doing this morning and this Sunday morning service and this Sunday evening service, Lord, is real. And even though we're not physically together, we thank you that spiritually we're united in Christ. And it's amazing how your anointing just comes through, even right into our living room and most importantly, into our hearts. We ask you, God, to have your way. And if there's anyone watching today, this morning, or this night, we pray right now, if they need to meet you, I encourage you, open up the door of your heart. Let Christ in. Acknowledge that you failed and fallen short of His glory. And you want to receive Christ as the bridge to God and the replacement of your sin for His life that was on the cross and taking and bearing your sins and my sins in his body, that you could have an abundant life. Jesus not only died, he rose from the grave, he's alive today. And as you just turn to him, say, I change my mind, I give you my life, I trust you, and you ask Jesus to come into your life, he's faithful to do that. And he promised that he would. And you're going to live forever in him, and you're not going to have the same fears and the same habits. He's going to change you.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.